Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Arcane Cultivator 3 by Harmon Cooper. Narrated by Neil Heligers. Arcane Cultivator Recap. Contains spoilers. Book 1. Things go terribly wrong at Jaden's treen ceremony. Expecting to class as an Aquaseer, Gale Caller, or Stone Shaper, after which he'll then join a water-harvesting sect, Jaden is devastated to see that the system hasn't given him a class. This is cause for concern, and it also means all the time he'd spent preparing for that moment has gone to waste. His memory wiped, Jaden is banished and transported by a Gale Caller to the desert. Rather than leave Jaden to wander until his death, this Gale Caller begins to torment him, which forces Jaden into action. He uses Madras and other water harvester powers to combat the Gale Caller's advances, powers he didn't know he had. They are remnants from the lessons Jaden's parents, a water harvester and a warrior nun, taught him. Zephyros, the enemy Gale Caller of the Breakers sect that had been tormenting Jaden, ultimately leaves. Later, after nearly getting killed by a desert yokai known as a Dune Howler, Jaden encounters Luca, Gale Caller of the Nomad Water sect. Her sect is a small, unsanctioned sect of water harvesters, run by a man named Elder Brother. Aside from Luca, there are two other harvesters, Rhodes, a stone shaper, and Caspian, an aquaseer. Luca brings Jaden back to her sect, but hides him away in a cave while the others continue to mourn a recent loss. The loss is quite personal to Luca. Alicia, who was killed by a rock demon, was Luca's twin sister. Alicia also happened to be betrothed to Rhodes, who is still dealing with the trauma of the loss, considering he was there when it happened. Jaden is discovered the next day by Elder Brother. He unlocks the Arcane Cultivator system, which allows Jaden to make use of Madras, Arcane Cards, and Water Harvester skills. Jaden classes in Arcane Medication, and soon begin training with Caspian for an inevitable fight against Rhodes, who doesn't want him to be part of the group. He joins them as they take on a smaller rock demon. The group continues toward a water vein that Caspian has been following. They discover that it is buried deep within a desert dungeon. Once they free it, they emerge from the dungeon to find Zephyros and the Breaker sect waiting for them. A fight ensues, and Jaden ends up striking Zephyros in the face hard enough to cause permanent damage. The Nomad Water sect moves on with the water vein. Once they have delivered it, they take on a group of bandits known as Duskfires and start toward the west, to an area of Southfall called No Man's Crossing. Jaden continues to improve the Madras he has learned, all in an effort to eventually fight Rhodes. But this day never comes. Instead of a fight, the Nomad Water sect welcomes Jaden into their group. For the next 6 months, they pursue the rock demon that killed Alicia, while also forging bonds and searching for water veins. Jaden is meditating one morning when a rock demon attacks their camp. The creature seemingly kills the other three harvesters and crushes Elder Brother. Jaden is able to stop the rock demon with Elder Brother's staff. A new being appears, the messenger of the gods, who tells Jaden that Caspian, Luca, and Rhodes are alive, being held in a pocket realm, and that he must complete the first pillar of the Tournament of the Gods if he wants to free them. Jaden, now known as a Celestial Champion, has 10 days to reach Mount Dawn. Panicked, Jaden soon discovers that there is more in Elder Brother's tent than he had originally thought, a contraption that seems to lead to another world. Using his Aqualect power, Jaden is able to communicate with Caspian and get further instructions from him, and he is told to use a new card he received, one known as Wild Tongue, to get a Sunstrider camel. Jaden will ride west and look for a man named Ariosto, a warrior monk. After fighting a horde of desert rake, Jaden joins with a Sunstrider named Bota. The Sunstrider camel, often complaining, gladly takes Jaden west. Along the way, they encounter the Tidecaller sect, who challenge Jaden to a fight for the camel. He defeats their Gale Caller, proving just how strong he's become in 6 months, and moves on. Once they reach a small village known as Linaka's Gift, Jaden and Bota take a ship to Karakoram. They camp along the outside of the city, and Jaden's attacked by thieves the next morning, who he manages to defeat. Taking Caspian's advice, he heads to the Relic Hunter Tavern to see if he can find Ariosto. He trades a relic he picked up in the desert for information about the warrior monk, and encounters Ariosto in his garden. Ariosto is a Bakaneko, which means he is a yokai that can morph into a human, He is trained as a water harvester and a warrior monk, and spends the next several days teaching Jaden more madras and how to use Elder Brother's staff as a weapon, preparing him to take the next tier, which will unlock his secondary class. Jaden can't decide what secondary class he should unlock. Ariosto shows him one of his dragon meridians, which would be accessible if he uses martial arts mastery. This is what Jaden decides would be best to improve his powers. But he still has to reach the next tier first. After more training, he finally has a breakthrough and takes his next class. He also gets a new arcane card, one known as Light Step. Jaden feels he has gotten to a good level with his staff and departs the next morning for Mount Dawn. After consulting with his fellow harvesters, Jaden arrives by way of the Dry River using a new power known as Tidewalk. Upon reaching the monument, one of three giant swords sticking out of the side of the mountain, Jaden is attacked by Zephyros, who breaks his arm. Fortunately, he is rescued by two other harvesters, Kay, an aquaseer from the Whispering Wind sect, and Alara, the stone shaper from the Sand Drought sect. They are also celestial champions. While they wait for the messenger of the gods to appear, Jaden tries to heal his broken arm using one of his meditative powers. He is unable to. He befriends Kay, who makes him a sling. Once the messenger of the gods returns, it is explained to Jaden and the other harvesters that there will be four different legs of the tournament, and that they will compete against themselves. The messenger of the gods reveals the names of the first three challenges, which Jaden later surmises are related to the elements. But it doesn't tell them the final challenge. The first challenge, known as the Tempest Trials, has Jaden traveling from floating platform to floating platform. The only problem is he doesn't know which way the wind is going to blow. He manages to use his ability to talk to water to help him, but it gets too challenging. A new idea comes to him, and he tries to speak to the wind itself. This opens up a new water harvester skill, one known as Breathbinder. He completes the challenge and is instantly transported into a dungeon deep in the ground for the March of the Cataclysm challenge. Moving on, Jaden takes out dungeon guardians, imps, and a Vortic dragon. He's eventually able to reach the heart of the dungeon, which he must destroy before he can complete the challenge. He does so, and is transported to the Testament of the Tides challenge. Jaden, who can't swim, instantly finds himself flailing in a big body of water that is slowly rising. Using his Aqualect power, he's able to communicate with the water, which helps him swim to the bottom of the chamber to unlock a series of water locks. Once the water is drained, he's able to complete Testament of the Tides and go to the final challenge, which pits him against a sand fang. Because of the creature's size, Jaden instinctively charges his staff using Aetheric Crescendo and hurls it at the giant wolf, which instantly kills it. He has done something similar before in a dragon meridian and is surprised it worked. The messenger of the gods appears and tells Jaden he has completed all four challenges, and he now has a choice. Return to the real world with his fellow water harvesters and forfeit the tournament, or continue to the second pillar, which starts in 6 months. Jaden chooses to compete. He's returned to the real world, where he finds Kay sobbing. The half-ice Nordian water harvester chose to forfeit, and for this choice, her sectmates were killed, and she's now forced to compete in the second pillar alone. As Caspian, Luca, and Rhodes return, Jaden asks Kay to join them. She agrees, as does Pota, and they both get their Nomad Water sect markings later that day. The first novel ends with Luca finally being able to translate some of the carvings on Elder Brother's staff. While some of it is still obscured and will need to be translated after making a print, she finds a few lines that explain that Elder Brother won the Tournament of the Gods 100 years ago. He has also left a blueprint in the form of his carvings for them to decipher, which Jaden and the others hope will give them a leg up going forward. Book 2. The second installment of Arcane Cultivator sees the Nomad Water sect growing closer in Southfall as they make plans to decipher Elder Brother's staff. Upon doing so, they learn that he has left a cache of information in a crypt. They discover that Elias, God of Sand, has been chosen as their sponsor, and the better their sect does, the better chance Elias has to have his name restored in the Four Kingdoms. Rather than heed Elias's wishes, they head to Elder Brother's crypt and split up along the way. Through Kay's abilities, they are now able to replicate arcane cards. They do so, and continue to train along the way, later completing the challenge to get the information that Elder Brother left behind. This information reveals what will happen in the second and third pillars. It warns the Nomad Water sect that they will later have to face off against one another. Elder Brother also gives them a one-use card called Elemental Convergence. Finally, They learn that the gods are vulnerable during the tournament section of the pillars. Angry that they didn't do his bidding immediately, Elias appears and freezes the sect for 3 months to punish them by reducing the amount of time they have to train for the next pillar. Once they are freed, the sect secretly vowed to get back at the god. But first they'll need information, which Caspian plans to get in the capital city as they continue north to the kingdom of Midling. Along the way, they encounter the Emperor's Magi, led by a mage named Magdalene, who threaten to jail them if they use their powers. After the Nomad Water sect explains what they are doing in Midling, Magdalene gives them an order to stay put. They disobey this order once they arrive in the capital of Ikanth, where Caspian stays behind to figure out what to do about Elias. And Jaden and the rest of the sect continue on to complete the god's request. The request turns out to be a bizarre one. Elias tasks the Nomad Water sect with finding 5 floating heads in a vast forest, which proves difficult considering the heads are able to teleport. They team up with local yokai to complete the task, which turns out to be much deadlier than they anticipated. Upon completion, they learn Caspian has been taken prisoner and has provided instructions on how to break him out using a water spirit. Navigating the catacombs beneath Ikanth, the sect successfully breaks Caspian out of jail and learns that their sponsor, Elias, will be punished if they lose the second leg of the tournament, but they must make it to the finals to survive. Caspian also secretly reveals to Jaden that one of them will have to be sacrificed if they forfeit a tournament match. For the next 6 weeks, the Nomad Water sect spend time in Isnor taking odd jobs and training. They get a reminder telling them that the tournament will start soon, so they head south. Along the way, they pick up a relic known as the Mirror of Past Visions, and a card called Size Shift that allows them to change the size of an object. They train with Ariosto, who shows them an intense attack that could deliver the same devastating blow as Elemental Convergence. With their time dwindling, the Nomad Water sect reaches the 3 pillars of Mount Dawn, where they have an encounter with the Breakers, who just so happen to be sponsored by Elias's main rival, Mirella, Goddess of Water. To keep them from killing each other, the Messenger of the Gods places each sect in a pocket realm. Boda is also given a human body, and will compete with Jaden and the others in the challenges to come. Teamed up together, Jaden and Boda complete a dungeon challenge that sees them killing demonic yokai in chambers under the pressure of a countdown timer. They succeed and rejoin with the others, who've also faced harrowing challenges in their dungeons. The tournament leg of the second pillar begins, and they fight yokai, a giant, Brethren Assassins, and a team of Isnordian mages. As planned, they forfeit their match against the Breakers. This brings the wrath of the gods, and the Nomad Water sect is forced to choose one of their own for sacrifice. All choose themselves, aside from Jaden, who chooses Caspian, based on earlier instructions. The sect is returned to their world, where they are told their new sponsor is Mirella, Goddess of Water. They also discover that Boda has remained in his human form. The sect won't be given a date for the 3rd and final pillar, and learn that it could happen at any time. Determined to continue and execute their plans against the gods, the Nomad Water sect head south to learn more about arcane casting. Part 1. A Triumphant Return. Chapter 1. Dreaming in Longtail. Something told Jaden to do it. It came from this voice at the back of his head that wouldn't stop nagging him, one that told him that there had been a reason for what Caspian had done, that Jaden should investigate further. The Nomad Water sect was nearly in Longtail after a week of travel, and they were exhausted. Lights out early for once, the sect expected to fall into a deep sleep. Yet Jaden couldn't shake this thought that kept coming to him, one that revolved around the way Caspian had behaved before his untimely death in the second pillar. Eventually, he sat up. Jaden had to give it a shot. "Maybe it will work," he whispered. "Maybe." He was in a room in a warrior nun named Kristen's home, Rhodes sleeping in the bed to his right. The big stone shaper had one arm draped to the floor, nickels scraping against the cold floor as he snored. Boda was in the other bed, the Sunstrider camel now in a human form that he was still getting used to, evident in the strange way he slept. Almost like a curled-up animal. Jaden lay back down. It could wait. But it couldn't. He knew it couldn't, even though he didn't know what it was. And the only way to fully satisfy this notion that wouldn't die down was to head across the hallway and lightly knock on Luca and Kay's door. With this in mind, Jaden slipped to the other side of the room as quietly as possible, his movement made easy due to the work he had done since joining the sect. He was faster now, light in his steps, which was a good thing. He didn't want to wake Boda or Rhodes. Aiding him was the fact that there were no creaking wooden planks, nothing like they had grown used to in the frigid north. He reached the door and let himself out into the hallway, where he felt a cool breeze humming from an open window. Summer was still several months away, but the days were already starting to heat up, the nights still relatively comfortable. Jaden knew it wouldn't last long, and by then, who knows where we'll be, he said to himself. Rather than knock, Jaden spoke to the spirit of the wind. Are they awake?
They are,
a voice said, one that seemed to exist all around Jaden.
Please let Luca know. I need something.
The door opened, and the wind twisted to him immediately, ruffling his hair. The wind now carried Luca's voice, something he'd seen her do from time to time.
What could you possibly want at this hour, dry spell?
I want to see the mirror of past visions.
Jaden remembered Caspian using the mirror before the start of the second pillar, yet he never understood why. Aside from going to Longtail in search of Samana, a woman who might prove impossible to find, the Nomad Water sect didn't really have any solid plans as to what they should do next. They definitely didn't want to wait around until the Tournament of the Gods began again, when they would be summoned to the Three Pillars of Mount Dawn. In this sense, it was worth a shot, worth trying. After all, Jaden had a hunch. Even though Luca looked at him with sleep in her eyes, it was clear that she wasn't going to give Jaden any trouble with his request to see the mirror.
Come on,
she finally said as she motioned him into the room. Kay, who was already lying on a bed, slowly turned toward Jaden and Luca.
What's going on?
Jaden wants to see the mirror.
What? Why?
I'll know when it happens, was all Jaden said as Luca removed the mirror from its protective leather sleeve.
You really want nightmares tonight, don't you?
Gale Caller asked as Jaden examined the mirror closely. He focused on his own troubled expression, one that relayed just how uncertain he was that this would work.
Hopefully not.
Jaden placed the mirror on a dresser, face down.
Do you have some sect paint?
I do.
Luca brought the small container over to Jaden and popped the top off.
Thanks.
Jaden traced the white line from his forehead down to the tip of his nose and returned to the mirror. She gave him a curious look, but she didn't say anything. Kay, who had been watching them from the bed, finally gave up and turned to the other side.
I don't think this'll take very long, Jaden said as he took the mirror and looked at his reflection once again.
He stared deeply into his eyes until he began to feel uneasy. Was there anything you said to activate the mirror's powers?
By Livia, no, Lucas said. The mirror has a mind of its own. At least that is how Pebbleheart and I felt after using it. Never again. I still don't know why we have kept the damn thing. I don't want to say the thing is cursed, but it's definitely cursed.
Let's just see if I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'll be the one that suffers.
You, Handsome, and Pebbleheart. Remember, you're sharing a room with them, and Pebbies needs his beauty rest, the old grumper.
I'll keep that in mind.
Jaden examined his reflection once again, his dark hair and eyes, the deep tan of his skin, and the way it almost glowed in the lantern light of the room. Finally, he gave the mirror back to Luca.
Thank you. I will be up in the morning for meditation, if you would care to join me, he called over to Kay.
See you then,
Kay said, her face buried in a pillow filled with feathers.
Good. At least two of us are meditating. And who am I kidding? Someone has to sleep around here, Lucas said. Are you sure you're done with the mirror?
I'm done with it.
Do you want to sleep on the floor in here just in case you have nightmares? I know Pebbleheart will tease you if you wake up screaming. How about it? There are extra pillows and blankets in that cabinet there.
And wake us up?
Kay asked Luca.
I'll keep him quiet. Ooh, I know. Let's make him a nice little spot at the foot of the bed like a little cat.
Jaden considered this. I don't know if I ever had a cat.
A pet would be nice for our sect. We had Handsome, but he is a human now. Too bad, too. Or is it good? He's a pretty okay human when he's not complaining about being bipedal.
She glanced over to Kay, who had since covered her ears.
We should probably keep quiet. But I'm serious, Dry Spell, my dear, dear Dry Spell. You should sleep in here tonight. After all the traveling we did, Pebbleheart needs his beauty rest.
If you insist. Luca brought a blanket over, which he folded in two to form a sort of mattress. She followed this up with a straw pillow and a light blanket made of linen to use as a comforter.
I can sing you a lullaby if you want. I think I'll be fine. Thank you.
Jaden grinned at her.
Thank you, Wind Scourge.
He was slapped by a rush of wind.
Sorry, that was a slap of shock. I don't think you've ever called me by my nickname.
Jaden rubbed his cheek. Not bad. If I start screaming or anything, hit me with that. It will wake me up.
Gladly.
She smiled at him.
Good night.
Luca floated up into the air and then shifted horizontally. She crossed her arms over her chest like a corpse being laid into a coffin and hovered over to her bed. Miguel called her lower dramatically and didn't say anything else. Jaden got comfortable. Caspian had been the leader of their sect, even though it should have been Luca considering her age. Now she seemed both ready and reluctant to take on the role. She hadn't explicitly said this, but he could tell. Caspian had left quite the gap in their sect, and even if they were all getting used to it, his absence was felt. Sleep came, Jaden immediately drifting skyward, where he reached a place that reminded him of one of his meridians. He looked down and saw his hand, noticing that his skin was the same as it had been in the mirror's reflection. He wasn't in a dragon meridian, Jaden was certain of it. He was someplace else, a dreamscape, one that soon filled with water as the waves came rushing toward him. The dark clouds beyond rumbled. Bolts of lightning struck the waves, which continued to swirl until they formed into the body of a robed water harvester. Caspian lowered to the shoreline, a smile on his face.
I knew it, Jaden said.
I was hoping you would discover this strange little aspect of the Mirror of Reflections. How did you figure it out?
I couldn't shake this feeling I had. I remembered you looking at the mirror, but never commenting that it gave you nightmares. I hadn't looked at it yet. I figured I should give it a shot, even if I experienced nightmares.
It's really you.
Sadly, it is not. I know it seems like you found me, but you have not. I use the mirror to make an imprint. I am still very much dead, or I assume this would be why you would summon me here.
He looked around, some of his blonde hair falling into his eyes.
That said, it works, and I assume I will always be accessible this way, even if I'm not of your world.
That's hard to believe considering how real this seems, how it looks.
No, but I am here, and that makes me real enough.
The Aquaseer settled his gaze on Jaden.
Where are you right now?
Longtail.
Perfect.
Can we all see you like this? Jaden asked, suddenly elated. Because if so, we could even train.
You will be able to see me like this, and perhaps, Kay. I do not know about the others. They have to be in tune, like you are becoming. You are now at the Magus tier. You can begin the study of your tertiary class.
Arcane casting. That's why we came to Longtail, to find Samana.
Yes, but she is not here.
Then where?
Ariosta said she may be in the desert.
She is, but it won't be easy finding her. Luckily for you, for us, there is one person who will know of her location, and it is someone I am quite fond of.
Who?
My mother. She's the only person that Samana tells where she's going, just in case there is a family emergency. Several questions occurred to Jaden at once. He suppressed them all and went for the most obvious one, considering a water harvester's treen ceremony.
You know your mother? I mean, you remember her?
I do. I am ashamed to admit it now, but it is one reason that I came to Longtail before you all. I wanted to see her one last time.
You knew what would happen that far back? That was months before the second pillar.
Things that are seen through meditation that are hard to explain. Maybe seen is the correct word, felt. But I knew, and My mother will know where Samana is.
Are you sure?
I'm certain. Samana is my aunt. This answered Jaden's next question as to why Caspian had mentioned a family emergency. The water started to lash at Caspian's feet. He turned back, acknowledged the waves, and returned his gaze to Jaden as a storm rippled beyond, the sky darkening.
How will I find her? Jaden asked. He didn't want Caspian to leave, but he could tell their time together was waning.
My mother lives near the Stave Church where we last met in Longtail. She helps out at a local bakery every morning. You can't miss the spot. The ovens they use are oddly shaped. Find the bakery, and you will find my mother. Her name is Margot Aborant.
Margot Aborant at the bakery, got it.
The water started to pull Caspian down.
I should go, for now. This is good. It is good to see you. And I hope you are ready for all that you will be able to do.
I don't know if I'm ready. The Tournament of the Gods can begin at any moment.
Caspian nodded. When that happens, you will know what to do, Jaden. Take each day as it comes, and don't beat yourself up for any wasted time. There is less of it than you think, yet enough to go around, not unlike water. Goodbye for now, and never forget. The tides of destiny guide us all.
Chapter 2. Caspian's Mother. Morning meditation with Kay gave Jaden time to consider his dream conversation with Caspian. He thought less of any difficulties in finding Caspian's mother, Margot Aborant, and more of what it would mean for the future of their group if he could communicate with the Aquaseer, even if he wasn't alive in the same sense as he had been before. It was a breakthrough, and Jaden looked forward to telling the others. Before he fully broke his meditation, and while it was still quiet and he could focus, Jaden looked over his current status. Name, Jaden, Tier, Magus, Rank, F, Class, Arcane Cultivator. Arcane Meditation. Rank A, Intermediate Meditation, Level 8, Astral Projection Meditation, Level 7, Elemental Breathing, Level 6, Healing Meditation, Level 7, Martial Arts Mastery. Core Nexus Meridian, 97% clear. Chest Meridian, 89% clear. Left Shoulder Meridian, 81% clear. Right Shoulder Meridian, 68% clear. Forehead Meridian, 0% clear. Dragon Essence, 165 of 165. Arcane Cards. Codex Vault, Level 1, passive. Elemental Convergence, Level 0. Gravity Warp, Level 3. Ignition Glyph, Level 5. Light Step, Level 5. Mind Maze, Level 4, Phantom Limb, Level 3, Psi Shift, Level 3, Spectral Shroud, Level 5, Tidal Guardian, Level 4, Wild Tongue, Level 4. Water Harvester Skills. Aqualect, Level 4, Drake Sight, Level 4, Breathbinder, Level 3, Tidewalk, Level 6, Water Weaving, Level 4, Madras, Aetheric Crescendo, Level 5, Apparition Shift, Level 3, Aura Burst, Level 8. Aetherblade Fang, Level 10. Dragon Aura, Level 10. Dragon Essence Cycling, Level 10. Dragon Flight, Level 6. Scaled Lash, Level 10. Spiraled Fist, Level 7. Void Drift, Level 8. Void Shift, Level 8. He still planned to clear more of his right shoulder meridian before finally moving to the final meridian, the forehead meridian, also known as the Mind's Eye Pathway. Normally, this would have been something he would do with Caspian. He hadn't asked Kay if she would be available, but he had a feeling she wouldn't mind.
"You seem agitated,"
she whispered, as Jaden tried to get comfortable. Jaden blinked his eyes open to find the half-Isnordian woman staring at him.
"Sorry, I'm fine. Just finishing up." "I ended my meditation a few minutes ago. I was watching you. What's going on?"
She leaned forward a little.
"What are you not telling me?"
"What makes you think something is going on?"
"Your facial expression. You are thinking about something. You're supposed to be contemplating."
"Would you go to my forehead meridian with me later on?"
"Certainly. I have always wanted to see what one of those is like."
"There is something else, but I will tell the others as well." Jaden got to his feet and offered Kay a hand. Together they headed into Kristen's home to find the warrior nun seated with Rhodes and Luca at a long table made of what looked like petrified driftwood. There was bread on the table.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?